Good morning, and welcome to Queen's Law Pro Bono Radio. I'm your host, Kwame. Queen's Law Pro Bono Radio discusses interesting and off-center legal topics that aim to make legal discussions more accessible to you. We strive to stimulate interest and provide information while always being entertaining. This week's show is on tattoo copyright. If you've ever considered getting a tattoo, or if you already have one, you'll want to stay tuned in for this episode. For some, getting a tattoo is a milestone that stands at the intersection of self-expression and personal growth. It's almost like a coming of age, a rite of passage. It's right up there with reaching the drinking age or getting your first driver's license. For this episode, we're going to look at an interesting question, one that explores tattoo art and what rights the law has and might afford to tattoo artists. Imagine this scenario. What if the tattoo you got years ago suddenly stops you from getting a job because that requires you to be on camera? What if that amazing tattoo you just got and can't wait to reveal is the work of another artist and has been copied without consent? Should this use of original art be considered any different than other representations of original art copied without permission? In this episode, we will discuss what it means for an artist to have a legal right to their art and what it means when that right is violated and possible implications for the Canadian legal field. Firstly, let us start by acknowledging that no case law or legislation specifically has dealt with this issue in Canada as of yet. There are only a few instances outside of Canada where people have taken legal action for infringing the use of tattoos. Tattoos are a creative process, sometimes collaborative, but ultimately require skill and creativity. Many are the original works of art created by tattoo artists for the bearer. These original tattoos can be drawn freehand from stencils created by the authors. As tattoos have become increasingly accepted in the public and workplace environments, many people seek to use this form of self-expression. The right to expression is a protected right held by all Canadians. However, with the form of art, the question of whether copyright protects tattoos is intriguing, as it becomes somewhat of a topic in recent copyright discourse. General consensus on this issue holds that the ownership of the artwork lies with the author, despite it being fixed on the skin of the bearer. Canadian courts have not yet faced this issue. However, foreign courts' treatment of the question might provide some insight into the direction our courts will lean when deciding these issues. So, what is copyright? Before we continue, let's explore what copyright is, what it protects, and how. Copyright refers to the legal right of a creator of something to decide what happens with that creation. Often this concerns how it is used or produced. All Copyright Act gives us the sole right to produce or reproduce a work or any substantial part of that work in any material form. This extends to performances of the work where it is intangible and to publishing of the work where it is unpublished. Copyright protects or subsists in every original literary, dramatic, musical, and artistic work, as well as other subject matters such as sound recordings, communication signals, and performances. As I mentioned before, some of the cases that deal with copyright in tattoos come from the U.S. There are some slight differences when it comes to the intricacies of our copyright legislation. The language under the U.S. copyright law specifies that copyright protection occurs for original works fixed on tangible mediums of expression. The language in the Canadian Copyright Act is slightly different. Section 3 states, copyright in relation to a work means the sole right to reproduce the work in any substantial part thereof, in any material form whatever. Tattoos most likely fall into the category of artistic work, defined in the Copyright Act as paintings, drawings, maps, charts, plans, photographs, and engravings, sculptures, works of artistic craftsmanship, architectural works, and compilations of artistic works. Although the Canadian language does not specify that the original art needs to be material and fixed, the reproduction of the art in any material form is part of the rights entitled to the owner. The U.S. copyright language may be viewed as exclusionary to tattoos, as skin may not be considered a tangible medium of expression. It's all up to interpretation. Whether or not this will make a difference in Canadian cases remains to be seen. One thing that is interesting in the Canadian context is that while it is not expressly identified in the Copyright Act that fixation is necessary for copyright to subsist, A case from BC covering a separate area of copyright set a precedent that has been accepted to this day as confirming the requirement of fixation. The suit is between Canadian Admiral Corporation and Rediffusion Inc. from 1954. It was decided by the Exchequer Court, a predecessor to the Federal Court of Canada. As I mentioned, the Copyright Act does not explicitly make material form a requirement for a copyright to be in effect. This case, however, sets that precedent. Now, for the history. This case involved a broadcasted football game of the Montreal Alouettes, in which Canadian Admiral purchased the rights to live feed from the game. At the same time, Rediffusion captured the broadcast transmission and sold it privately to homes in the area. Canadian Admiral asserted a claim of copyright infringement, and this was the main issue of the case. The decision in Canadian Admiral held that for copyright to subsist in a work, it must be expressed to some extent, at least in some material form, capable of identification and having a more or less permanent endurance. While this case suggests that material form is a condition of copyright, there have been a few cases that chose not to apply this decision. When it comes to infringement, the infringing copy needs to be fixed enough to fill the requirement. In the United States so far, copyright in a tattoo gives exclusive reproduction rights to any tattoo or part of a tattoo. If the Canadian courts choose to follow this example, it will encompass not only original works by tattoo artists, but also tattoos of existing symbols, objects, or artwork. Based on cases that have been determined by U.S. courts, copyright can exist in a tattoo, and on top of that, the artist slash holder of the copyright controls the right to reproduce the image or any part of it. Now, this may not sit well with many people, considering that tattoos they choose to put on their bodies are meant as a form of self-expression. When it comes to reproduction, infringement by reproduction is triggered even by reproductions in film, video games, and other forms of media. Now, this means that even posts on social media, any videos taken of bearers of tattoos, or anything related, counts as a reproduction and is an infringement of that copyright. The first big case that dealt with copyright in the U.S. is a tattoo copyright case in 2011. A tattoo artist named Victor Whitmill filed a copyright infringement lawsuit against Warner Brothers. The Warner Brothers Hangover film series is about a group of friends that go out for a night of partying and celebration in Las Vegas before a wedding. The group awakes to find one member missing and engage in an adventure through the city trying to find him. The first movie features Mike Tyson as himself with his famous face tattoo. In the second film, Mike Tyson reprises his role as himself, and his tattoo was also replicated on the face of Ed Helms' character, who wakes up without a memory of how it got there. The object of the suit was a tattoo that was recreated for Ed Helms' face. There was no copyright claim filed for Mike Tyson's appearance in the film with the original copy of the tattoo. The case ultimately settled outside of court. However, considering the fact that the tattoo was copied exactly and was displayed in the same way on someone's face, Warner Brothers would have likely been liable for copyright infringement. In this case, it is not disputed whether or not Mike Tyson has implied license to have his image displayed, including the tattoo. However, Whitmill argues that this doesn't give him the ability to sublicense that right to others, namely Warner Brothers. Now, in a situation like this, when a tattoo artist gives a tattoo or makes a tattoo for a celebrity like Mike Tyson, the artist ought to know that at some point, the bearer of the tattoo's likeness will be replicated and recreated. I think the better question in this particular scenario is whether or not Mike Tyson would be entitled to any rights over the recreation of the tattoo, seeing as in this place, it's on his face, and its use was only intended to represent his presence in the movie. As tattoos are art that is fixed to another's body, there is an additional set of potential issues aside from the initial discussion of copyright. They can't be bought and sold like others. One of the issues is that will be up for Canadian courts to decide is whether tattoos are to be considered artistic works in a way that fulfills the criteria under the Copyright Act or not. Another issue will be whether a person's personality rights or freedom of expression will at any point supersede the rights that their artist has when it comes to sharing images of themselves, let's say on social media. In the cases that have occurred so far, copyright claims have been triggered by commercial use of tattoos. However, the line between personal and commercial use is often blurred as we continue to find ways to commercialize aspects of our life like self-expression. Most often, tattoo infringement cases in the U.S. involve a tattoo artist asserting their rights when a celebrity that they have tattooed enters into an agreement to portray their likeness. There has not yet been a precedent set in Canada concerning the question of who owns the rights to a tattoo. A fairly recent case in the U.S. featuring a WWE wrestler can shed some light on where the law stands, at least with our southern neighbors. Okay, so let's start with some background to the case. I take us back to 2018. France has just won the FIFA World Cup in Russia, and Canada has won the bid to co-host the 2026 World Cup. The United States has just withdrawn from the United Nations Human Rights Council, and Canada has become one of the first industrialized nations to legalize cannabis for recreational use. Amongst these events is a lawsuit between an individual and a group of companies which would bring a new precedent to the landscape of tattoos and copyright. World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated, Take-Two Interactive Software, and other companies were sued for copyright infringements after their use of original tattoo designs created by Catherine Alexander for wrestler Randy Orton. The video game company Take-Two Interactive Software creates the well-known video game series WWE 2K, as well as NBA 2K and other popular successful games. A common thread between Take-Two's games is that they involve increasingly accurate, lifelike depictions of NBA players and WWE wrestlers. The depictions, of course, include the tattoos that are on the players to fully capture their likeness. A few of the tattoos that were recreated for Randy Orton's character included some made for him by Catherine Alexander, the plaintiff. The tattoos included images of a dove, a rose, a skull, a Bible verse, and a tribal design. Due to his popularity and visibility with fans of WWE, the tattoos are virtually synonymous with him and his image. Alexander claimed that the use of the tattoos in the video game was an unauthorized copying of her original works. In September 2020, a judge decided motions for summary judgment in favor of Alexander. The arguments made by Take-Two Software were the same that succeeded in judgment in their favor when they were sued for the use of LeBron James tattoos and likeness for their NBA 2K video game. In that case, three main arguments were made. They argued that they had been granted an implied license to use the tattoo design as part of the recreations of the athlete's likeness. The artist agreed to a tattoo of a public figure who they ought to have known would have their likeness replicated, including the new tattoos. This is all commonplace for someone as visible as an NBA player or WWE star. The next argument made by Take-Two was that their use of the tattoos fell under the fair use doctrine. Canada has a similar doctrine found under Section 29 of the Copyright Act. It says that copyright will not be infringed if the work is used for the purpose of research, study, education, parody, or satire. As long as proper nods are given to the original work, copyright is not infringed. This would be the case of mentioning the author, the performer, the maker, or the broadcaster, and the source from whence it came. The final argument for Take-Two was that the use of the tattoo constituted a de minimis part of the video game, as it was only used to depict the character in question. Its impact on the larger video game is fairly small. The argument was rejected by the court, as the judge found that even though Alexander had given an implied license in putting the tattoo on Orton, it was not all-encompassing and didn't cover recreations such as the WWE video game. The implied license also didn't give WWE the right to use the tattoo to profit off of the recreation of their wrestler. These arguments may have won in the previous case. However, this more recent decision turns that on its head and leaves repercussions within the field. During the suit, it was brought up by Take-Two's defense that a decision like this would open the floodgates for similar litigation. This claim is valid, as now in the U.S., presumably any tattoo artist can sue someone with their tattoo if they are ever featured on video, in a picture, or depicted in another piece of art. The final decision was made by a jury, and there may be some contention about the correct instruction of that jury with regards to how to consider the argument of fair dealing. The doctrine has both a factual component and a legal component, and critics of the case claim that the jury wasn't properly instructed and so decided on both elements. Regardless, there are effects now for litigation that may come up before this decision is overturned, if it is. Practically, this means that when someone gets a tattoo, their artist effectively has a right to stop them from using that body part in the recreation of their image. For an actor, this could mean that without the consent of an artist, a studio cannot cast them, so they're out of a job. Or if they do, they must go to lengths to conceal that tattoo. In the Canadian context, decisions like these play a persuasive role when it comes to any litigation that may occur. It is likely that until someone sues for copyright infringement of a tattoo design here, we won't know for certain. However, if the Canadian courts decide in a similar way to the first Take-Two case, it may cause dissatisfaction amongst tattoo artists in Canada. It seems that perhaps these cases will be decided mostly on the individual facts of each case. One prediction we can make is that public figures and anyone who makes a living off of the use of their image will preemptively secure licenses for the use of their tattoos from the artists that will make them. This still leaves space, however, for artists that don't agree to relinquish rights over their work and tattoos that are many years old. From a human rights standpoint, it is curious that the law has landed where it has in the U.S., as it involves control over a piece of someone's flesh. Some might expect the law to treat tattoos a bit differently than other artistic works, as they are embedded in the skin of individual citizens with their own set of rights and freedoms. There are still some interesting questions that remain, regardless of what decision results in the Canadian context. Copyrights can be transferred and are inheritable. If a decision is made in favor of tattoo artists, will this feature be available to them, or will the interests of the bearer at some point supersede their moral rights? The right of integrity is outlined in Section 28(2) of the Copyright Act. With regards to works of art, it says that author's right to integrity is infringed upon if, to the prejudice of its author or performer's honor or reputation, the art is distorted, mutilated, or otherwise modified, or used in association with a product, service, cause, or institution. As you can imagine, this may be an interesting right, as it may clash with the bearer's right to freedom of expression. It may also propose a problem when it comes to commercial endorsement by the bearer that involves reproduction of their likeness along with the tattoo. For example, when it comes to political affiliation, if the political ideals of the artist and the tattooed party conflict, the tattooed party is particularly vocal and visible in advocating for their beliefs, it is hard to say at this point whether or not these moral rights will be enforced where someone with a tattoo chooses to associate or represent something that they believe in and that the tattoo artist does not. The right of integrity is outlined in Section 28(2) of the Copyright Act. With regards to works of art, it says that the author's right to integrity is infringed upon if it is to the prejudice of its author's or performer's honor or reputation, distorted, mutilated, or otherwise modified, or used in association with a product, service, or cause, or institution. This may be an interesting right, in that it may clash with the bearer's freedom of expression. It may also propose a problem when it comes to commercial endorsement by the bearer that involves reproduction of their likeness along with the tattoo. For example, when it comes to political affiliation, if the political ideals of the artist and the tattooed party conflict, and the tattooed party is particularly vocal and visible in advocating for their beliefs, it is hard to say at this point whether or not those moral rights will be enforced where somebody with a tattoo chooses to associate or to represent something that they believe in. This is supported by the cases mentioned, namely Whitmill v. Warner Bros. A suit was filed only after a tattoo was recreated on another actor rather than just displayed on Tyson's body. It is likely that until it comes to recreation of someone's likeness, litigation may not follow. Another question brought up by this topic is whether tattoo artists and or the individuals who bear the tattoos can be liable under copyright law where the design is already subject to copyright. In other words, it was created by another artist. It is often the case that someone will see a tattoo and try to have it replicated on their body. This is an interesting suggestion when we think of how many people get similar tattoos. Surely, the requirements for qualifying an original work will have to be very clear. Generally, it is that the work took some creativity and innovation to create, that whatever image or tattoo didn't exist like that before and elsewhere. Even more interesting is what happens when someone gets a tattoo of a trademark symbol or of something that was already subject to copyright, like a painting. This area of law is fairly new, with the only relevant cases coming out of the US. Even the UK has not yet seen a case decision on a related matter. This leaves the field relatively open for Canadian courts. They will have a lot to contend with while considering the intersection of charter rights entitled to every Canadian and the protections afforded to the artists under the Copyright Act. It is possible that we will see an entirely different form of copyright protection that leaves exceptions for these rights, but is also possible that the courts will come down in favor of artists. The courts may follow the influential judgments from the US, or they may not. However, some of the same arguments and defenses should be available to Canadian lawyers. Namely, the discretion of Canadian courts will be required when deciding the effectiveness and strength of the implied license defense. It is curious to see what will be said by activists once it is common knowledge that decisions on this topic have the potential to grant artists a degree of rights to the use of bearers' body parts. After the decision in Alexander and Take Two Interactive, the floodgates are open, at least as far as cases with similar facts go. For now, it may be advised for anyone who intends on having their likeness featured in any commercial product to get documented proof of the rights to reproduce any tattoo they may have in order to safeguard against possible suits. I hope you've all enjoyed our discussion on tattoo and copyright law. My name is Kwame, and this has been a pleasure. Before we end the show, we would like to say that the views expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers, host, or the Queen's University Faculty of Law. This podcast does not contain any legal advice. Pro Bono Students Canada is a student organization. This podcast was prepared with the assistance of PBSC's Queen's Law student volunteers. PBSC students are not lawyers, and they are not authorized to provide legal advice. The podcast contains general discussion of certain legal and related issues only. If you require legal advice, please consult with a lawyer.